Blog Talk Radio.
To keep the Falkland Islands and to keep the Argentinians off. In 1771, Spain, which had claimed the Falkland Islands, and of course they had split South America between them and Portugal, the Pope drew up a demarcation line. The Portuguese got Brazil and Spain got the rest, which included Argentina. And apparently in 1771, 5 years before the American Revolution, Spain ceded the Falkland Islands to Britain. So the British have a claim that goes back even before the military junta in Argentina back in the 1980s. In 1814, the Knights Templar, a very controversial organization, had their first meeting in New York City. In 1837, these are all on this day, January 22nd, in 1837 in Alta, California, first newspaper was printed in California. This is interesting. In 1879, this senator, James Shield, was a U.S. senator from three different states, I think Missouri, Illinois, and Kentucky. I'll correct that. I'll make sure I get that right. And then this is very important, again, to South America. In 1890, Jose Marti was a Cuban freedom fighter against the Spanish, and of course, the Spanish Civil War, and one of the correspondents went down there, sent by William Randolph Hearst to investigate the alleged Spanish atrocities against the Cubans in South America. In 1895, in fact, that was a message to Garcia. That's a famous line. It's one of the most famous lines in history, among other famous lines. In 1895, the National Association of Manufacturers had their first meeting. Now, they were supposedly have been co-opted by some radical gays who had been pushing an agenda, a political agenda, which none of this, sexual preference doesn't really belong in politics, religion, or the school districts or the churches. It should be something that's a private matter. In 1905, this was Bloody Sunday in Russia, where Father Gopal, they went to the Winter Palace to protest the lack of food, the treatment of the Russian peasants and the Tsar's army, who were there guarding the palace, committed a horrible massacre which set the stage for the 1917 revolution. In 1924, KGO Radio AM was set up in San Francisco. I used to be on KGO. We have those tapes. In 1939, the first split of the uranium occurred at Columbia University in New York City. In 1946, during the Harry Truman administration, the Central Intelligence Agency was set up, and its first director was a Rear Admiral Navy, Admiral Sewers. Interestingly, the third director of the CIA was also another admiral, who was also from St. Louis. This is interesting. Now, American military intelligence, in fact, American intelligence, the U.S. Navy, because they had the naval attaches abroad and the ships traveled abroad, was our major intelligence agency, and they gathered intelligence, which was supposed to be shared with the State Department. And that, of course, we had a Secretary of State who said, gentlemen, do not read each other's mail, which he was very naive. And that was Stimson, who worked in the Hoover administration and in the FDR administration. In 1970, Pan Am had the first flew the first 747 from New York City to London in 6.5 hours, and I flew on Pan Am, a great airline, when I went to Australia as a correspondent. In 1973, on this day, it's a very important date, three major things occurred. The U.S. Supreme Court dealt with the abortion issue by striking down anti-abortion laws in the Roe v. Wade decision. They also dealt with capital punishment, and I believe their decision was the way capital punishment was carried out in the United States was carried out in a cruel and unusual manner, which is violates the Eighth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. Also, Lyndon Baines Johnson dropped dead of a heart attack. So it was a triple header on January 22nd, 1973. Also, what else happened on that day? We had, we had some interesting births on January 22nd. Francis Bacon, who was chancellor in the Elizabeth I reign. We had Lord Byron, who was born on this day. A great Swedish playwright, August Strindberg. We had D.W. Griffith, David W. Griffith, one of the first major film producers. Also, Sergei Eisenstein, although there's a different date. Now, among the most interesting people born on this day was Hjalmar Schacht. He was the banker for the Hitler regime, the Third Reich. He was put in the docket at Nuremberg, tried as a war criminal, but he was acquitted. A U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice, Fred Vinson, was born on this day. I think his son or his nephew or his grandson is now a federal judge who's ruled on that the Obamacare, parts of it are illegal and violates the Constitution. This Fred Vinson, who is a federal judge, is also a U.S. Navy Annapolis graduate. The great French aircraft designer, Marcel Dassault, who made the Mirage jets, which he sold to Israel and other countries. I believe he was a Jewish heritage. I don't know if he practiced. One of my favorite villains, if you've seen the movie Casablanca, this guy played the Nazi colonel who came to Casablanca to try to persuade Humphrey Bogart to return to mainland France, where he would have be treated fairly and all of that. Conrad Veidt. Conrad Veidt also starred in other movies where he played the villain. Great actor. Great singer who sang with most of the great tenors and also with under the baton of Arturo Toscanini. Rosa Pouncell was born on the stage. A great dancer and choreographer, George Balanchine. I think he was Russian, born on this day. Then the first woman who was a black aviator, Wilma B. Brown. We don't hear much about her. A Canadian who came here and starred in many movies, Marie Dressler, was from Toronto, Ontario. Ann Southern, actress, was born on this day. A great black singer. He was married to Leontine Price, and I think he sang in Porgy and Bess, William Warfield. Excuse me. And if you ever saw the Galloping Gourmet, the Australian Graham Kerr, born on this day, and then the LAPD cop who became a writer, Joseph Womberg, also born on this day. Among the Among the deaths on this day was Benedict the 15th, the 1922 famous pope. Now in World War One, wars where the Catholic countries put their armies in the field, they went to the Pope to ask for blessings. Well, France was on one side and the Austrians on the other. Both Catholic countries, when they went to the Vatican, they asked for the Pope's blessing. He threw them out and said, "I bless peace, not war." In 1979, the guy who was accused of being the mastermind of the 1973 massacre of the Israeli athletes at the Olympic Games, Ali Hassan Somali, was taken out with extreme displeasure, as they say, in the intelligence field. In 1987, Pennsylvania official, state treasurer Bud Dwyer, shot himself at a TV news conference, and so he didn't. That was the way he exited prosecution. In 1988, Grigory Malenkov dies. He was one of those Russian commissars who succeeded after Stalin died in 1953. The guy who invented the teleprompter, Irving B. Kahn, died on this day. Telly Savalas, no, Telly was interesting. He was born on January 21st, 1922. He died on January 22nd, 1994. And then the grandmother and the founding mother of the Kennedy family, Rose Kennedy, died on this day of 104 years old. Now, among the interesting things is that on the abortion issue is that presidential candidate Obama gave a speech on abortion, and we have it in our archives, and here it is.
But even as we are teaching those lessons, we must never be willing to consign a teenage girl to a lifetime of struggle because of a lack of access to birth control, or a lifetime of illness because she doesn't understand how to protect herself. That's just common sense. There's common ground on behalf of common sense. There we have an opportunity to move forward and agree. People of all faiths, from members of Ariana and my church, Trinity, United Church of Christ, to the United Synagogue of Conservative Judaism, understand that we cannot ignore that abstinence and fidelity may too often be the ideal and not the reality. We need more programs in our communities, like the National Black Church Initiative, which empowers our young people by teaching them about reproductive health, sex education, and teen pregnancy within the context of the African American faith tradition. We need more leadership at the federal level. That's why I'm an original co-sponsor of the Prevention First Act, to guarantee equity in contraceptive coverage, provide comprehensive sex education in our schools, and offer rape victims factually accurate information about emergency contraception. We need to tackle the tragedy of unintended teen pregnancy. When 750,000 teens become pregnant every year, and half of Latina and black teens will become mothers before reaching their 20s. It's not just a public health problem. If we reduce teen pregnancy, we can also reduce poverty. Now, the good news is that there's been a decline in the teen birth rate, in part due to the outstanding work of Planned Parenthood. But we all know that we can do more. And that's why I've been working on this in Congress. Today, I introduced the Communities of Color Teen Pregnancy Prevention Act to increase funding for programs to combat this problem in communities all across the country, working with grassroots organizations to increase education. We need to ensure that pharmaceutical companies can offer discounted drugs to safety net providers like Planned Parenthood and university clinics so that access to affordable contraception is not just a privilege for the few, it's an option for all women. It's amazing how many women tell me the stories of how important it was for Planned Parenthood to provide them services when they were in college and they did not have the health insurance or the access to a regular doctor that they needed, to be able to have somebody they could trust to deal with so many of their basic and essential health issues. And we can't stop there, because we know that there's more at stake, that the struggle for equality is also a struggle for opportunity. You've worked in the community. You've seen women and families trying to keep pace. You've seen our daughters hit the glass ceiling and come to closed doors. The social contract in this country was made for a time when most women stayed at home with the kids. But even though this time is long past, we still have social policies designed around the old model, the, as Justice Ginsburg said, ancient notion of women's place in the family. And so women still receive less in pay, less in health benefits, less in pensions, less in social security. When women go on maternity leave, America is the only country in the industrialized world to let them go unpaid. If you're a single mom, like my mom was, and you can't afford health insurance for yourself, and you're trying to figure out whether your kids are going to be covered or not, the message from this current administration is, tough luck. That's the break. The truth is, too often our daughters don't have the same opportunity as our sons. But that's not who we are. That's not the America we want for our children. And I am absolutely convinced that we can make this change. We can update the social contract so that caring for a newborn baby isn't a three-month break. It's a paid leave, so that all of our children have basic health care. We should be ashamed that the President of the United States is fighting providing health insurance coverage to all children because he's worried that socialized medicine, he would rather fight an ideological battle than make certain that children who have preventable illnesses like asthma are getting regular checkups instead of going to the emergency room, which is costing all of us more money. We can update the social contract so that our kids can go to school earlier and stay longer, so that a mom can stay home with a sick child without getting a pink slip. We can go to work, and she can go to work knowing that there's affordable, quality child care for her children, so that more families can stay together and prosper, and our daughters have no limits to the shape of their dreams. We can make these changes. But first, we've got to get rid of the can't-do, won't-do, won't-even-try style of government that we've had in Washington over the last several years. An administration that says, we don't have the money to do it, but we've got $10 billion a month to fight a war in Iraq that should have never been authorized and should have never been waged. We can find the money to make sure our daughters have the same rights as our son. We can make this change. We can make this change, but first we have to get rid of the politics that's obsessed with who's up and who's down, a politics that's power for power's sake, the politics of cynicism and fear, fear above all of the future. This kind of change is about more than any one judicial appointment or law, as important as they may be. It's also about leadership. It's about not settling for what America is, but working for what America might be. You know, I'm here as a candidate for the presidency of the United States of America because I had a grandmother who never got more than a high school education. But she worked on a bomber assembly line. She was Rosie the Riveter. And then went to work after she and my grandfather had married and her daughter had been born. She went to work as a secretary and worked her way up to become vice president of a bank, the same bank where she started as a secretary, and ended up being the financial rock for our entire family. I'm here because of a mother who, for most of her life, was a single mom, and yet was able to put herself through school and get a PhD and end up specializing in women's development and starting micro-enterprises for women in Africa and Asia all around the world, and still somehow had it, had the time and capacity to fill up her children with love and affection. I'm here because of my wife, who, as many of you know, is smarter and tougher and better looking than I am. And many people ask why she couldn't be the Obama running for president. And I explain that she's too smart to want to run for president. She'd rather tell the president what to do. But most of all, I'm here as a candidate because there's these two little girls that I try to tuck in every night, harder during the campaign season, whose futures depend on us creating a more equal society. I want my daughters to grow up in America where they have the exact same opportunities as America shows. I want Sasha and Malia to dream without limits, to achieve without constraints, to be absolutely free to seek their own happiness. At this crossroads, we need to talk about what America might be, an America of equality and opportunity for our daughters. We need to talk about what Justice Ginsburg calls a woman's ability to realize her potential. Because when we argue big, we win. I am convinced of that. I am convinced that Republicans and Democrats and independents, blue state voters and red state voters, they want a fair shake for their daughters. In 1966, the Planned Parenthood Federation of America gave its first Margaret Sanger Award to Martin Luther King Jr. And in his acceptance speech, which was delivered by his strong and wonderful wife, Coretta, Dr. King wrote, "Our sure beginning in the struggle for equality by nonviolent direct action may not have been so resolute without the tradition established by Margaret Sanger and people like her." That struggle for equality is not over. And now we are at one of those rare moments where we can actually transform our politics in a fundamental way. But it's going to take people as resolute as Mr. Sanger, Dr. King, people like your own Cecile Richards. It's going to take young people like Ariana. It's going to take millions of voices coming together to insist that it's not enough just to stand still, that it's not enough to safeguard the gains of the past, that it's time to be resolute, it's time to march forward. I'm absolutely convinced that we stand on the brink of that kind of achievement. And if we succeed in raising the awareness all across America that what is good for our daughters is also good for our sons, that when we expand opportunity for some, we expand opportunity for the many. When we have achieved as one voice a strong call for that kind of more fair and more just America, then I'm absolutely convinced we're not just going to win an election, but more importantly, we're going to transform this nation. Thank you very much.
Well, that was candidate Obama, but there's some facts about Margaret Sanger. She was a racist, and she believed in eugenics and thought that blacks shouldn't have babies, that they were an inferior race. She also, reportedly, had nursed Adolf Hitler. A lot of things about this woman that have not been publicized, if at all. Now, we're still having some technical problems. We'll be back Friday, and we'll be talking to our correspondent in the Midwest, Patrick Butler, who will bring us up to date on what's going on. There was a hit piece on PBS last night about the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Chicago and where even the current art is supposedly covering up for all the sexual abuse. We're not apologizing for this. In fact, at our school, when a priest molested a child, he was gone the next day. We didn't know where he went. We also had a brother who had sexually approached a young girl. He was sent back to Canada to a farm. They kept him away from children. Now, Catholic Church, because it's big, has had a lot of problems, and of course, they've been dodging some of this as a huge financial liability here. But it's not only the Catholics, it's other religions, Jews. We've had scandals here in San Francisco, scandals throughout California, scandals throughout the United States involving other religions and other groups including the Boy Scouts, which is, they may have even more problems with this new deal. But anyway, we tell it like it is, and our model for 2014 and our model from here on in is we believe that the United States and the American people want renaissance, they want renewal, and they want reform. This whole business about using the phrase change, all that means and all it has come to mean is that to change the faces, but a lot of the and most of the old policies continue, the old policies and practice. Very little is, quote, change. So just note that little semantic distinction there. Yeah, you know, you can tell. Anyway, we'll be back. And also, this David Campos, he's an illegal alien who somehow got his came to the United States, got an education here. He wasn't deported back to South America. Yet this guy wants to dictate to American citizens who are anti-abortion activists, he wants to tell them what their rights of assembly and protest are. I mean, it's really the height of cheek or the low of cheek, however you want to deal with this. I mean, had he done this in Guatemala, which is a Catholic country, by the way, I don't know, you know, they don't practice, they have a schizophrenic relationship with the Roman Catholic Church because church priests abuse the peasants down there. This is a fact. We're not denying it. Anyway, he couldn't get away with that had he stayed in Guatemala. So, you know, these people come here, and they don't come here to create and contribute. They come here to co-opt and corrupt. We've seen this time and time again. Also, we're going to be doing our series on the founding of the CIA and intelligence. Americans still do not understand the intelligence field, that one of the federal secretaries in both the Hoover administration and the FDR administration, Stimson, made this comment that gentlemen do not read one another's mail. Well, you need to if you're going to survive. And all the countries do it. The French do it. The British do it. The Russians do it. The Germans do it. The Japanese do it. The Chinese, who are very good with their intelligence services. It's a matter of survival, and of course, the Israelis. So we're going to get into that, the founding of the CIA. It's very interesting. There's also a connection to the Steve Mary case, where one of the judges in the case was involved with Fred Astaire's sister, Adele Astaire, who married Lord Cavendish, the grandson of an assassinated British official who was sent by Prime Minister Gladstone to Ireland to try to broker a peace treaty, a peace agreement between the Catholics and the Protestants. But this judge had also worked in the predecessor of the Central Intelligence Agency, which was the OSS, Office of Strategic Services, which was run by General William Donovan. So there's a lot of history here, and of course, very little of this is publicized, very little of this, if at all, is known to a lot of people. So we'll be bringing it up because we're historians and we've lived a lot of this in the last 50 years. So we'll end with our usual politics and program. We're going to still try to work out these technical problems with this new system.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We got to pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say
neither one. I never even met them.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bet up.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle them up and cards and find the joker. Neither game's for children, neither game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trays, good as gold.
Yeah, I'll bet them. We'll be back Friday at 3:30 Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site. We're doing a series on bicycle lanes placed in front of fire stations and police stations, which impede the first responders if they have to respond to an emergency. This whole bicycle agenda is out of control. Some people are calling the Latte Leisure Class. Anyway, go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Stay warm, stay safe, good night.